Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney, and I'm with Will.
Hey, guys.
And also with a special guest today, we have East Coast Brian. Hello.
Howdy.
I like how that sounded very East Coast. That was very fitting.
Not bad.
Yeah. Brian is going to talk about The Last of Us 2, because he's played how many hours now?
It's pushing 30. 24 and a half to complete, and then I'm redoing it on hard mode right now.
Jeez. So you're hardcore on it right now.
Yeah, very much so.
Awesome. And then we're also going to talk about the EA Play, which is not very much talked about, really, right, Will?
It's EA.
It's EA. They just teased a bunch of shit, and then it's going to crash and burn when it launches. Yeah? Yeah? All right.
It's in the game.
I gotta watch myself with that one.
Then we're also going to talk about the Pokemon Sword and Shield expansion that came out of the Island of Armor, and Pokemon Snap was announced. We're going to talk about that as well, and that's all coming up right now, right now, right now, right now. All right, guys, welcome to the show. So today, like I said, we're going to talk about Last of Us 2, so we'll probably start with that. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about our gaming word of the week this week, which, if I pull up my little table here, is Bullshot. What do you think that is, Brian?
It's either a really awesome energy drink or something to do with Bull Private Parts.
Oh, okay. What do you think, Will?
Bullshot. I'm actually not too sure. I think it might have something to do with like a shooter or something.
It is a kind of a mix of bullshit and screenshot, referring to the misrepresentation of a final product's technical or artistic quality by artificially enhancing promotional images or video footage.
That was my third guess.
Well, we get that a lot then.
Yeah, we do get that quite a bit. So, all right, let's move on. But before you do that, make sure you visit our website, videogamesnow.ca, to find all of our content, including our YouTube videos, social media links, and podcast episodes. After the show, leave a review on whatever you listen to the show on to help spread the word about Bullshot. Finally, consider becoming a Video Games Now patron. As a patron, you get access to the podcast episodes one day earlier than everyone else, as well as discount on our swag store, exclusive stories, and Patreon game days. All right, Brian, let's get right into The Last of Us 2. So, what were your first impressions of Last of Us number 2?
I knew going into it was going to be a great game. Story-wise, going off the second one, or the first one, I knew the second one was going to be... We had places to go. And I just didn't intend for the game to go the way it did and how it played out the way it did. And how long it was, like, that really threw me for a loop. Halfway through the game, I thought I completed it, and I started getting lazy with looting and stuff and just rushed into it, only to find out I was literally a little less than halfway through the game.
Wow.
Yeah, I was pretty choked.
So if you're like me and you don't have a PlayStation and have never played Last of Us, what does that game entail?
The biggest thing for me, the reason why The Last of Us stands out for me is visually it looks stunning. They've really made every major city that's appeared in the games look like it's never been touched by a human in 40 years. And also the stealth aspects in combat are ridiculously smart. You can play through entire encounters without being seen if you're careful. And you can also get into situations where you can take a hostage to get cover, negotiate, and or you can just play through it very quick and very loud if you want to.
Awesome. So yeah, you've got some options.
Yeah, definitely. And the human aspect is more prevalent in this game for enemies, but the infected are still a force to be reckoned with.
Excellent. So, what's something like? Is it? It's a survivalist type game, I imagine.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Bringing up Zombie U, which I brought up a couple of podcasts ago. My favorite thing about that game was that ammo was so scarce. So you had to decide when there was a bunch of zombies how to kind of take them on without using your entire, basically, ammunition supply. I didn't use most of my guns until the end of the game because I was literally getting just rampaged by a full army of zombies, and I just pulled out the machine gun that I had two clips for it and just fucking lit them up. Yeah, it was a good time. So
it's very similar to this game. When I first played through, I played medium difficulty, and ammo was still pretty scarce. It took me probably a quarter of the game to get enough ammo for all of my weapons, and then within one encounter, if you don't know what you're getting into and there's a lot of enemies, you can waste it all then and there, and then you're back to square one. And right now, playing it on the hardest difficulty the game offers. I've been playing for 8 hours and I might have found 8 bullets.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really scarce on Survival Plus is what it's called.
All right. Tell us about the story. Let's break down, kind of without spoiling anything, the story the best you can.
Basically, the two main characters from the first game have settled down and they found a safe space. And basically, they have these routes in which they patrol, keep eyes and numbers, and they log everything on infected, how they're moving. If the numbers are getting more increased or not, or stuff like that, just to keep their small community safe. And our main characters are part of the lookout, and they clear infected from these areas. And a series of events unfold during one of these routes, and sets a journey of revenge in motion that will take you all the way across this country within this game.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah.
You're making me excited to play it because I'm going to get a PlayStation 5 because everybody has a PlayStation, so why not? And
I pray they remaster it like they did the first one. They remastered it. That was one of the first games they released for PS4, the remastered version of The Last of Us Part 1. And it was so good.
Yeah.
So I can only hope they do it with PS5.
Perfect.
I can see them doing it.
Oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait to play, because I do like survival games, and a survival game with story is actually a perk, so look at that. Excellent. All right, cool. What's the combat like in the game, Brian?
I'm trying to think of something I can compare it to. It's very, like, there's a running aspect to it, so if you run at an enemy and you throw a punch, it's gonna have more weight behind it than... Obviously, if you're standing still and you're just trading fists with somebody, you can definitely do that. But it all depends on when you strike how the person's positioned. And they'll obviously be able to break that and attack back at any time. And you just have to be aware of when they're going to do it. And there's a button where you obviously dodge or parry, I think is what it's called. There's a lot of that, but it doesn't tell you when. So you have to learn it on the fly. I'm trying to think of a game I can compare it to. I would say God of War is pretty close.
Another game Rodney hasn't played.
It's very cool.
Awesome. All right, cool. Will, what do you got on Last of Us 2?
So the first game, depending on how you played, Brian, stealth was a huge thing with the combat.
Yeah.
Have they changed any of the stealth mechanics for the second?
They've made it a lot better. There's a lot more you can do. They've added like small elements of like broken glass on the floor and stuff that you really have to like look in and focus your eyes on to actually catch it. But if you step on a piece of glass the wrong way, infected will hear you, because infected rely solely on vision. Whereas if you're going against humans, they don't really notice all that much. But if you have a flashlight on you and it's turned on, humans will notice that from farther away and infected won't. So those are two things you have to keep in mind. But they've definitely amped up more things to get you in trouble if you're not careful. Same if you jump into water, infected will hear that splash immediately, whereas enemies won't. Like, human enemies won't hear it so much.
Yeah.
Because the world's rotting away constantly. There's always these sounds, so they just get used to it.
Okay.
Another good thing they've added, too, is when you're going against enemies in a faction, like there's many factions in this game, the callouts to people, like if you stealth kill one person in this faction, someone will come across that body and they'll be like, oh my god, they killed so-and-so. But they have a name for every single character you come across. So they'll call out this, and then once they discover that body, everybody's on alert. So it's harder to play that stealth game.
Can you hide the bodies?
No, not. I don't think you can, but I feel like you can. I haven't tried it yet. That would be my one criticism if you can't, because the mechanics and possibilities for that is very there. But if they didn't do it, that's a mistake on their part.
Yeah, I think back even to the early Xboxes, even with shooters, hiding the bodies has always been in a game.
Yeah, that's, to me, very important, especially if you're doing it stealth like this. They've also introduced one new enemy, the help with Side of Man, which is dogs. Dogs are the worst thing ever, because they don't rely on so much hearing, but they can smell you, they can sniff you out, so you can't stay in one spot very long if you're playing it stealth.
Okay, so they act kind of like a guard dog, eh?
Yeah, they'll track you down and they will rip the throat out of your face. Like, it's happened to me too many times.
That's kind of a nice little triangle, though. So you got to watch out for dogs because they can smell you. You got to watch out for the infected because they can hear you, and you got to watch out for humans because they can see you.
Yeah, and it's weird because you'll get in situations where all three are at play. They'll have infected on inside houses, untouched, just doing what they do. And enemies will be out patrolling the streets, looking for you or looking for supplies, getting ready to take down these houses with their dogs. And you're there just trying to, you know, not be seen, not be heard, not be sniffed. And the game is always pushing you to try to either move quickly or get into an altercation quickly. Whereas, you know, if you do, you're going to just die because you're often outgunned. So you have to figure out a way to play it stealthily. So one thing I like to try to do is take with the dogs immediately from a distance, because they are the worst, and then slowly stealth kill enemies and then work on the infected. That's what I like to do. I like playing the game super stealth, though. I like being able to get through an entire encounter without being seen or heard, but I've yet to pull it off. I've always end up going loud at the very end because someone catches me.
Yeah, I was just going to actually mention that. I run into this problem when I play the Far Cry New Dawn. It's like you try to take out a base stealthily and you'll get literally everyone in the fucking base, and then the last guy will be like, hey, you! Like, he'll just see you. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah, I love it so much. Playing the first one over again, I played it just before this one, I was able to beat that game in 8 hours. And I watched a few cutscenes. The cutscenes in the first game equal 6 hours of actual time. Just the cutscenes alone. So I skipped a lot of those to beat it. I found out this game has over 11 hours of cutscenes. That's not gameplay. That's just cutscenes.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
I mean, well, that's what made the first one so lovable.
There's a lot of emotional stuff in that story, especially the first one. This game made me cry within 20 minutes, like, because I have a big attachment to the characters already, so I was already in when I put it on. I this game made me cry a few times. I've never had a video game do that either. The Last of Us was the only game that had ever made me cry, and then its predecessor did that 3 or 4 times.
I cried at the end of Skyward Sword, to be honest.
Oh, dude. I feel like such a bitch. A video game's making me cry.
Nah, man.
I remember crying. I just don't remember which games did it for me. It's just the emotion. Like, you put so many hours into the game, you become invested in those characters, right?
Well, that's it, yeah.
So, I heard you say the other day that this is the best game you've ever played.
Yeah. This one, to me, this is the future of gaming. That sounds ridiculous and a little cheesy to say, but for what I got, like, I've never seen a game do what they did story-wise in this one. I've never seen a game pull off, and I've never seen, like, such well done acting and so much time and effort. I know this game was like delayed 10 times. I pre-ordered it like 2 years ago, and if it was just to fix everything to get the game we have, I'm totally okay with it. This game was amazing, and I can't think of one game that had me so emotionally invested and also had me so irritated and challenged but wanted to keep playing. I've never had a game like that. God of War was close. This game has God of War beat.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
So, just going down memory lane here, Brian, the last time you were on the podcast was episode 16, where we talked about Spider-Man. So
is that also God of War 2?
Yes, that too. So now that they've announced a second Spider-Man for the PSME, what are your thoughts on that?
I seen the is that the trailer for that played during the PS5? Is that the same Spider-Man or is there a different one?
Yeah, that's it. It's Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah,
they're not calling it Spider-Man 2. They're going off of it being as a spin-off.
Well, it is. Like, it's obviously a part of the Spider-Verse. Different universe. I'm all for it, especially right now because of there's a weird thing going on with I find superhero video games. Marvel's just released the Avengers. That looks okay. And I've still to this day, even though the Spider-Man game, the first one came out, I want to say a year ago, maybe last Christmas. I'm still watching gameplay for that and it looks so much fun. I just haven't gotten around to buying it yet. So if it's anything like that game, I'm 100% for it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Now, you watched the movie. I remember you and Evan were telling me about it as well. What was it, Into the Spider-Verse?
I haven't seen it yet. Evan has, but I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list.
Okay, apparently for this game, they took a lot of what made that movie so good for being a Spider-Verse, not really focused on Peter Parker for once.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good idea. Part of the popularity with that movie too was the comic book visuals that were diced throughout the animation. So yeah, hopefully they add that aspect to the video game, because I think that's something. Like oftentimes when we get a Marvel or even a superhero video game, it often plays out like an action movie. Whereas it would be nice for them to play homage in a weird way to the comic book itself. With the boom pow punches, I wouldn't keep those in there. I feel like that's been done, but definitely some type of art style or a lens or something they can add on top of the world itself, because I think that's what part of the reason Into the Spider-Verse was so popular.
I could see that.
Okay then. Well, anything else about Last of Us 2?
buy it right away, everyone. Play it, cry, and I'm probably gonna go right back to playing it after this podcast is done.
All right, well, good shit. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it once I can finally buy a PlayStation, which might take a while, because Brittany and I talked last night about what's going to happen when the baby comes. And she's like, you won't be able to play video games very much. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm sad.
I don't know if that's true. I have a lot of friends, and they just put the baby like in their arms or on their lap, and they can still play.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that.
I think that'll be a problem for me, because my studio's in a garage, so I have to like go downstairs, and there's no man door, right? So
yeah,
yeah. I think that'll be a slight problem for me.
I think you'll end up just taking a hiatus from video game playing for maybe a year or two. The first years of, you know, children are time consuming and laborious, whereas once, you know, they can walk around, and once they fall down and they don't hurt themselves as much, you know, they're okay. I play with one of my friends back from back east. He's got two, and he's on quite frequently.
Yeah, well. You know my wife. She's a fucking crazy person. Okay, so why don't we move on here to the next topic? I can't believe it's been 100 episodes since you've been on the podcast, Brian.
It's weird, yeah. I thought we were friends.
Totally. Okay, so let's talk about EA Play. Not a whole lot to talk about here, but we got to get it out of the way, right, Will?
Yeah, EA Play finally gave us their next event. If you can call it that. Everything's live this year, so we're not really getting what we used to with E3, but they started off with Apex Legends. So, too bad we don't have Bradley for this one, though, huh?
Yeah, it seems to be his thing.
But yeah, so Apex is coming to the Switch and Steam with full crossplay.
I don't even... Does Bradley have a Switch? I think he does.
I think... He has what? He has an Xbox, a PS4.
Like that's standard, except for with me.
Yeah, and I don't actually. Have we ever talked to him about anything Nintendo?
I think he did a Pokemon podcast with me once because you were unavailable.
Okay.
But yeah, I can't remember if he has a Switch. I think he does. Bradley, Discord us. Yeah. Let us know if you have a Switch. And then add me on Pokemon. Oh, dude, fuck. We'll get into this in a second, but I played my first online Pokemon battle last night. I got fucking whooped, dude. I got fucking whooped. So my whole strategy revolves around my Quillfish goes out first, uses Toxic Spikes, and then just uses Minimize. And just basically they can't hit him, and then the first one is just having so much trouble, and then I eventually kill them with Aqua Tail. And then he's supposed to die. He's basically a throwaway after the toxic spikes and spikes, right? Yeah. And then I switch to Colossal, who's a fire and rock type. He uses Stealth Rock. So, dude, toxic spikes, and Stealth Rock are all stacked now. Fucking, right?
Yeah.
And then he uses Reflect. So now all their physical attacks do half damage. And then I just fucking destroy the first Pokemon, and then the second one comes out, and then basically they're fucked, right? Yeah. But my fucking Quillfish died in one hit to this one guy. I'm like, what the fuck? So that just fucked my whole strategy. So I sent out Colossal and used Reflect and Stealth Rock and all that, and then he just fucking whooped me, dude. I'm like, this is some bullshit. So
you know, with the pro players, all they do is like breed their Pokemon to be that good.
Dude, I was in the beginner tier. They start you in the beginner tier, and you had to work your way up. That was my first battle, and I just got fucking destroyed. He had an Incineroar and all that shit, so I'm sure he's been playing the fucking shit out of what's it called, Sun and Moon, and he has a pro team, and he's just, I don't know.
Yeah, he's ready for you.
Yeah, so fuck that. I don't have time. I don't have time to build a competitive Pokemon team by breeding and fucking egg moves and all that bullshit.
Yeah. But you can breed Pokemon now?
Yeah.
You've been able to do that since...
Generation 2.
So, wait, can you just breed other Pokemon with other Pokemon?
No. They,
keep yourself in check, Brian.
Yeah. Well, you can
like
get...
Mewtwo, like Mewtwo and Pikachu combo.
Oh, that would be gross.
Got weird probey fingers.
Let's change gears back to EA Play. We'll finish EA Play and then we'll start talking about Pokemon. But I'll get back to your question, Brian.
Yeah. So Apex is coming to Steam and Switch with full crossplay. They've also explained Lost Treasures, which is their new event that's going to be arriving June 23rd. It will see the return of Armed and Dangerous, evolved in a new limited time mode that allows snipers and shotguns. So I think that'll appeal to a lot of players. There's also going to be a new area called Crypto's Map Room, which is going to be giving the players a new look at what is motivating Crypto during this season.
Sorry, I fell asleep. Are we talking about Sims 4 yet?
Not yet. Now we are. Because I don't even know what I was talking about during Apex. I'm just reading this off. Sorry, guys. I don't play Apex at all.
Yeah, I stopped playing a while ago. Actually, I was playing again just before Warzone came out. And I'm like, it just takes too fucking long to kill anybody. That's my... And all the guns run out of bullets and like that.
Yeah.
That's my biggest gripe with it. And Bradley's shaking his head right now. He's like, yeah, man.
Yeah, he'd be debating you on this right now.
I know. So
he's probably going to call you out on
this.
He's
already
as well.
Typing Discord right now. I'm calling all his moves right now. He's like, get out of my head, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
anyways.
So Sims 4 is going to be is now available on Steam. So I haven't played Sims in a long time. What about you guys?
Is that short for Simpsons? Because that's the last one I played.
I've never played Sims.
It's basically you have just another life.
I've seen it. Like I've seen definitely early renditions of it. I think maybe PS3 was the last one I took a look at. And my reason for never getting involved is because I'm a piece of shit. And if I could like take these four people in a home and just make them hate each other and start, you know, start a kind of domicile where police show up every night because of noise and arguments. That's what I would do because that's the life I know. So I would, it doesn't look like it has a very anarchy take on Sims. Everything's very, hey, did you cook the pie at 350 degrees? Yes, Sarah. Like, that's not me.
Well, apparently there's different ways you can play now. You can have kids. There's even like a vampire and magic expansion. So,
I think I was first exposed to The Sims when, which Halo was it? I think it was Halo 3 was out.
That's what I was thinking you were going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, Halo 3, Halo 2. I can't remember. It was like the tail end of 2. I think it was 2 actually. But I went over to a friend's house and his sister was playing The Sims, and I'm like, that doesn't even look fun. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people just walk in and it's just like, do regular old shit. And then, oh, I'm going to change their clothes. And the shower curtain comes up and they change. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? I want to play some Halo 2, goddammit.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Another life to live.
Yeah, I like Brian's idea better.
Yeah, dude.
I wouldn't be surprised if you could do that nowadays, though. They've gone way out of the box with Sims, so.
Well, if we can't, we come up with our own game, you guys.
Yeah. Well, we come up with fucking new games every podcast, Will.
Yeah, we do. Brian's game, we'll call it Anarchy.
Yeah.
Sims Anarchy, yeah.
Bitchin'.
I'm in.
So, rest of EA Play, there's It Takes Two, don't know what that is. Lost in Random, don't know what that is. Rocket Arena, is that like Rocket League, but like PvP or something? I don't know.
I think it's like a 3v3 shooter.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So with EA Play, is that in connection to EA Sports as well? Like, is all their games moving to this? So, because I'm a big fan of EA Sports.
Well, I was going to say EA Sports doesn't really need a conference because we just know the next fucking year of all their fucking sports games is coming out.
I only like golf. That's the only one I play. I find it very relaxing until I miss my shot, and then I swear, like, a lot. Like, I get really mad. I don't swear at most video games, but when I miss my putt, people above me know it.
You made my jaw drop once you said golf. I just couldn't picture you playing it.
Dude, I've been dropping balls in golf since 2005, bud. And I've gotten progressively worse every year. I don't know how that's possible, but I am not good at golf.
In real life or in games?
I've never played in real life. In the games, I used to be okay, but I just bought the most recent one, and my neighbors know that I'm no good at it. I can't stand it.
I guess the mechanics are getting more and more advanced.
That's it. It's very lifelike, and I'm not an athlete, so.
My brother and I, Cody, went to play golf one day in Burnaby, and we got on the course, and it was pretty busy. So I booked a tee time like a week or something in advance, and it was so busy. They're like, you know, you need to tee off, and you need to keep a fast pace or whatever, right? And we're like, okay. Cody and I have like never played like a full 18 holes of golf before. So I do my first shot. It's just utter shit. It's like 50 yards on like a fucking ground ball, basically. Keep in mind, there is a full fucking audience, right, of people waiting to tee off. And then I'm like, well, that's shit. Okay, whatever. And then I was the first one that went, and then they paired us with two other people. They went, they had nice shots, and then Cody went, basically same shot as mine, fucking 40 yards in the fucking rough, right, and barely out of the trees. And we hit our second one, and it was like an even worse shot, and like the guys that were with us were like, like you could tell how frustrated they were. We're like, fuck this, fuck golf, because everyone was like yelling at us, so like we need to keep moving and hurry the fuck up because other people need to tee off, right? And we're like, fuck yeah. You so yeah, we got our money back for our rentals and stuff, because they basically like kicked us off the course at that point. They're like, yeah, you're not good enough to fucking golf. So yeah, I was upset.
That's some intense golfing.
Yeah, and then we're like, well, how does one get fucking better if you just get kicked off the course because you're not good enough? He's like, go to the driving range and go. We're like, fuck you, you fucking arrogant white prick. God, we were pissed off. Sorry. Ronnie's rage today.
That is what golf is, though. It's more of like the elitist sport.
Yeah.
Not to segue, but you did say ignorant white prick. One thing I forgot to mention, I wasn't sure if we should talk about it or not, but The Last of Us score, I think Metascore, I think that's what it is high. It's like a 9.3 or something. But people are rating it independently, I guess, as like a 3. Like, people aren't digging this game. And a big part of the reason for it is this whole transgender controversy. One of the characters they assumed was a trans person. And there was no indication in the game whether or not she was. But people are just refusing to play it, or it's ruining their gameplay because they believe it is.
That's so stupid.
It's ridiculous, dude. It's ridiculous. And it turns out that character they're referring to is one of my favorite characters ever created in this universe.
Wow.
But yeah, there's a lot of hatred going on in the public chat forums about this game, and I'm digging it because these guys are idiots.
Interesting. Okay. Two more things on EA Play, and then we'll go back to Pokemon. So, Star Wars Squadrons.
I'm kind of interested. I'm not too sure. Like, I do like this, the space combat. So this could be a game I might dig, but I kind of hope it does a beta.
Yeah. You know what I would actually want is a co-op fighter pilot game. So like one person's flying the jet and one person's the tactical officer, and he's like locking on the missiles and firing the missiles and all that kind of shit.
That would be cool.
That would be super cool. That's what I thought.
It's hard to like try to like fly and shoot at the same time.
Yeah, it's fucking impossible. Yeah. But yeah, when I saw this game, I thought of that. So hey, there's another goddamn game idea. It's gonna be called Hot Roddy Pilot or something.
Yeah.
Hot Roddy Pilot.
Yeah.
How do I pre-order this? I mean,
become a Patreon. All right. So next, Madden 21 and FIFA 21. Montages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing every year.
Yeah, same thing every year.
That's fine.
Just different story. That's what it is now.
Is it really a story? Is there a story mode now? I thought the graphics just improved every year a little bit.
That, but the FIFA started it with a story. So you started with like a independent soccer player that moved to like the novice league and then all the way to the pros. And then Madden, theirs basically starts you in high school, all the way to college, and then
like what is this story? How does this work? Do you like for the FIFA one? Did your parents like, oh, they got divorced, but instead of, you know, staying in America, he went to South America and moved to Brazil, And instead of getting involved in the drugs, he chose soccer. And he became so good that he was beating other Brazilians at soccer. That's the only way you can do a game. It's got to be just like Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, but with soccer balls. I think I just wrote a new game. It's called Brian's Soccer Story.
Yeah,
I don't even know what to say.
EA Sports, get in the game.
We gotta make our own game company. We'll call it the Video Games Now. I don't know. Figure it out. But yeah, no, good idea. What a goddamn good. The actual story of FIFA is probably garbage compared to what Brian just laid out.
You can have that for free, EA. I come up with this stuff every 5 seconds. You can have that story for free.
I've never played FIFA, so I don't know. I just watch the trailers.
Yeah. NHL doesn't have a fucking story. It's literally been the same game since, like, NHL 10.
They were going to add a story.
Dude.
What do you do? Like, you know what they should do?
You know what you add to NHL? when the Canucks lose, you have a full riot. That's a you have to beat the game to unlock the riot.
I think the only way they could add a story is they could replace Be a Pro mode. It's because you go into Be a Pro mode and you make your dude, and you start at the entry draft essentially. And you get drafted to an NHL team. Well, what if you start, like, before being a semi-pro? Like it's your major midget, like, finale or something, and then you get drafted into the semi-pro, and you grow your character basically from scratch. Right?
I guess that could work, but, like, thinking about it now, that doesn't seem very enjoyable for at least hockey.
Yeah. What pisses me off about Be a Pro is that your skating is shit, for one. When you start out, like, your skating is absolute trash. It's like, okay, you wouldn't be playing pro hockey if your skating was fucking trash. Like, everyone's just fucking doing absolute circles around you.
Wow. You can level up, though, can't you?
I'm in my third season with my Be a Pro character, and he's finally able to, like, skate faster than people. Like, it's just fucking dumb. So
he's no longer a rookie.
You can just Canadianize it. Like, if you want a reasonable explanation for why a pro skater can't skate at the very beginning of the game, just make him play a scrimmage, but the boys went out drinking last night. He is Canadian, it's legit. Center of balance is wrong, so, you know. By the time you get through that first scrimmage of your hangover game, you'll be pro.
Your player must be from the East Coast.
Yeah. Well,
I think all Canadians drink.
Actually, the funny story about that in real hockey, they take three, sometimes 4 days off during Christmas break, right? So they can all go home and open gifts or whatever the fuck. And Kevin Bieksa, who used to play for the Canucks, was on Sportsnet, like, in one of the intermissions things. And they're like, it feels like the Canucks and whoever they're playing are kind of sluggish. He's like, well, yeah, they just went home for 3 days and drank a bunch of beer and shit. So they're out of shape.
He's not wrong.
Yeah,
he knows.
So anyways, okay, so that's it for EA Play, thank god.
They did give a look at the next Dragon Age, Battlefield, Need for Speed, and what those type of games are going to look at running on the PlayStation 5, Series X, and
kind of a tech demo-y type of thing.
Yeah, I was hoping to actually see some Dragon Age. It's one of my favorite series, so a little disappointed.
Battlefield 6 can fuck mine fuck right off. I couldn't find the right insult.
They gotta go back to their basics. Every game seems to be getting worse.
Oh, you know what else is bullshit? Is Warzone Rumble. I just have to sidebar that for a second. Fuck that. Fuck Warzone Rumble. Like, it is such a piece.
50v50?
Yeah, dude. It literally reminds me of Battlefield, where, like, you spawn in and everyone's a sniper and you can't fucking walk 2 fucking centimeters without getting sniped. You're like, fuck right off. It's so dumb.
I feel like they should at least open up the map for a 50v50. Not a small section of the map.
Yeah.
The whole map.
Yeah. Not the whole map, but, like, a big, like, all of downtown. Like, ground war size maps, not fucking, right?
Fair enough. Just picture 50 people with a sniper and you're walking in a field just getting, like, lit up.
And the other thing is there's no shields. Like, it's just like a regular team deathmatch. So it's like, not
one shot dead.
You would think you would use Warzone Rumble to try new classes of guns or new builds of guns in a Warzone setting where everyone has full shields.
Right? That's not what they did.
That's not what they did. It's just regular fucking damage.
I very rarely got to touch the ground in Rumble. I was getting sniped out of the air, even with my hot drops. No parachute, still getting sniped. Because the moment it forces you to open that parachute, 8 sniper bullets just whiz through your upper body, and you're now talking to old relatives. You're dead.
You guys got to make a video on that, like the worst way to die in Rumble.
I'd rather break my PlayStation, eat it.
The worst, another bad thing about Season 4 right now is the challenges are so fucking dumb. Like, there's one, it's like, get 3 point-blank double kills with a shotgun. You know how fucking hard that is?
It's easy if they bring back shipment.
But it's Warzone challenges. These are only in Warzone. So you can do it in Warzone Rumble. So I've been trying to run around and get fucking point blank double kills with a shotgun, but I can't barely fucking hit the ground and run 10 feet like Brian said. So, you know, it's really fucking dumb. But anyway,
what do you think they were thinking when like, let's introduce Rumble. This will be a great mode. Everyone's going to love.
Yeah. I don't know, it should just fucking go away.
I don't think they really think when it comes to this stuff. I'm like, all right, we need something different. Throw him at a hospital. We'll call it Rumble. 50v50. Give him 10 feet to fight in. Done.
I feel like this is how it goes down at Activision. So we're getting such negative press from like everyone. They're saying like we're not keeping it fresh. But like 50v50. Make it happen. We're like, well, we can't, but just do it. And then it's just
I want it on my desk by tomorrow.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And aliens. If they don't like it, we'll bring back Extinction, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. But I could actually see them doing that because it doesn't seem like a lot of the stuff they think about putting in the game is literally just for the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I even heard a rumor that they're going to introduce zombies into it.
I heard that one too.
And then some guy comes in the background, hey, there's way more hackers. Just shut the fuck up. Go away. We don't want to hear about your goddamn hackers. Go away.
And they say they're doing something like with the hackers, but I still run into them.
Yeah, Brian and I got killed by a couple of hackers the other day.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, the guy was aimbotting so hard.
Yeah. And then he saw we were watching and he turned it off. We're like, oh, yeah.
He did. He just started, like, missing on purpose, you could tell. But, like, he was aiming at the ground over hills. He was aiming at buildings. He wouldn't stop. Like, it was very obviously he could see an enemy there, and he was just waiting for them to peek.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was gross.
Yeah.
I watched a video on how, like, the aimbot works, because, you know, when you watch a player, you don't see what they're seeing on their screen because it looks different, right? But if one guy actually showed, like, the thing, and it literally shows, like, a red marker where that person is. So even if they're in a building, right, it'll lock onto him, and then he just has to wait till he's in a window or something.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. But anyways, back to Battlefield. Yeah, if Battlefield 6 comes out, I'm not even going to fucking touch it. I don't care how good it looks, because, like, Battlefield 5 really pissed me off.
You were so excited for Battlefield 5.
Dude,
and
I
then,
know.
Like, the day after it came out, you called me and just fucking ripped into it.
Yeah, I was epically pissed at Battlefield 5. Just... basically from the exact same reason as Rumble is
snipers.
So mad. There's so many. There's 64 fucking people on the map and like 45 of them are snipers, and it's like, fuck, man, like, how does anyone capture anything?
I remember you got spawn trapped too. You were so mad. You'd like load in, sniper shot, dead.
Yeah,
load in, sniper shot, dead.
Yeah. If you guys want to see my rant on Battlefield 5, I made a YouTube video about it like 2 years ago. So go watch that. Alright, so Need for Speed, don't care. Not into racing, but they showed a Need for Speed tech demo as well.
Yep. So
yeah. Alright, let's get
disappointing
on.
Disappointing overall.
Okay, let's get back to what we were talking about before, Pokemon. Brian asked, you can breed now. a little late on that, but
let's not go there.
But Brian, yeah, basically in Generation 2, they introduced the baby forms of some Pokemon, so like Pichu and Igglybuff and shit like that.
Yeah, and that plug-in guy, the plug-in fella, I remember him.
Yeah, so Elekid, yeah. So, so basically you gotta breed the two of adult versions to get the egg to get that version, right? So, but then they went
I remember doing it in Gold and Crystal.
Yeah,
yep, that was second gen 2.
Yeah. But then they went a step further. So when you breed Pokemon, you can transfer their some of their highest stats to the spawn. And if you do that like 5 times, the spawn will have like perfect stats. So that's when you want a competitive Pokemon team, you got to do that. And then you can also transfer some moves that they can't normally learn by leveling up to the spawn as well.
Okay.
So you can basically build a fucking godly team that's just unbeatable because their stats are perfect and they have fucking just absolute bullshit moves.
So the pros would do that. I
used to have a Game Shark for mine.
But the amount of time it takes to actually... Because you can't just spit a spawn out and then just rare candy it and then spit another spawn out. Like, you have to actually battle and train it, level it up properly. Because the game actually has, like, counters in the game. So if you beat a Pokemon... Like, if you beat Squirtle, then you get a point for defense. And once you get 4 points for defense, then... You know when you level up your Pokemon and it says... Your defense went up by 1 or 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
So every 4 points you get, that levels up your defense by 1 when you level up. So that's why you have to actually level it up properly. It's called EV EV training, if for those who don't know. Do they still have that, Brian, though?
I don't remember if they do. There's still the breeding aspect, but I don't think there's EV training.
I think they might have switched up. I don't know.
Yeah. Brian just mentioned something funny too, though. He's just mentioned the Game Shark. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, dude. Okay. We've talked about this before, but kids in the schoolyard that would tell you a fucking blatant ass lie about a game, and then you'd spend hours trying to do it because you believed them.
Yep. Missing No.
Yeah. Well, not the Missing No glitch. The Missing No glitch is actually real.
It is. Yeah.
But the one that got me, I don't know why I fucking believe this kid. I was the most gullible fucking. Like 10 year old ever.
Say it was the Mew under the truck.
No, it wasn't the Mew under the truck. It was in Generation 3. Okay. So, if you moved your game cartridge slightly in the Game Boy Advance SP, it would make this, like, sound. Like, I can't even make a sound. It sounded like a fucking raptor. Okay, why can't I turn this fucking music down that's too loud? Let's just skip it. There we go. Okay, so anyways, when you move the cartridge, it, like, freezes the game, like, completely freezes the game, and then, makes this, like, really odd, like, mechanical sound, and it just loops, the sound loops, and when that happened to me, my friend's like, oh my god, that's, like, if you do this special thing, yada yada, you can fight, like, Mewtwo GX, and he said it looked like the Mewtwo from the first movie with the armor on. I'm like, that's fucking badass. So every time that happened, I'd be, like, trying to fuck around to try to make this fucking thing happen, which is total bullshit, right?
Yeah.
I was so upset, because I wanted a Mewtwo GX. So,
that's how Pokemon was back in the day, though. There was always these little rumors, like, but the Game Shark did give you a few things that you could do. Do you guys remember Surfing Pikachu?
Yep.
Yep.
Cody put a Game Shark in, started the game. First Pokemon he encounters, level 100, shiny Rayquaza. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
What the hell did he put in? Like, because I remember you could put in multiple codes. So I remember, like, with gold, I had, like, this perfect one that I could, capture other trainers' Pokemon. So I didn't even have to, like, I'd go into the first gym. I'm like, well, I don't want him. I'll just knock him out. Oh, I want this one. Throw the Pokeball. And it's like, you beat the battle.
That's gross.
While I'm stealing the fucking gym leader's Pokemon, I'm like, we're good.
I used to just duplicate Master Balls and chuck them at everything I saw.
That got old really fast, though, the Master Ball. Like, I don't even use the Master Ball. Well, you had to choose, though. Like, when I played Omega Ruby and completed the National Dex, like, I had to catch, like, 30-plus fucking legendary Pokemon, so I really had to figure out which one to use the Master Ball on, because you only got one.
Yeah, I think I used it on Rayquaza.
No, I used it on...
It wouldn't get caught for me, no matter what I did. I used, like, 60 freaking Ultra Balls.
I caught mine in five Timer Balls.
Oh, you bastard.
It's fucking math, man. Like, I saw the actual equation required for catching Pokemon. It's fucked. It's, like, so fucking advanced. Because they factor in, like, the status effects, they factor in the type of Pokeball you're using, they factor in the catch rate of each Pokemon. And yeah, it's fucking insane. So
I caught a Entei with the Dust Ball.
Nice. I think I used my Master Ball on one of those ones that run away from you. So it was like Latios or Latios or something. I was like, fuck you. I'm not fucking wasting my time with you.
Yeah, I could see that. Because you have to chase them too. Because if they run away, it was just like the dogs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you had like a couple moves to make something happen or put them to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Putting them to sleep, or what was the other one? Like Scary Face or something? They were, something that wouldn't... They would trap them. I can't remember what it was.
You can use Wobbuffet, whose ability blocks them. But then you got to actually have a strong Wobbuffet, because then they just one-shot him. You can use Trapinch. His ability is Arena Trap, so that prevents them from running. But yeah, I think... block. What's it? There's one more move that the one that Brian's talking about. I think it is Scary Face.
Or maybe it was like terrified.
A spider web. It gave a spider web effect. Is like the Pokemon is now trapped. I can't remember. It's been so while. Such a long time.
Well, what I did, I was like the fucking god of catching legendaries. So I used a shift tree that knew False Swipe, so I got it down to 1 HP. I put it to sleep. Sleep is the best multiplier for status effects. It's 3 times. That's the only one that's 3 times. Everything else is 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I used Ultra Balls because they're 2. Everything else is like 1 or 1.5. Ultra Balls are 2 in terms of capturing. Or Timer Balls. Actually, if you're in 40 rounds in, the Timer Ball is 4 times. So every
that's a long battle.
That's a long battle. That's like last resort type of shit. So if they're asleep, has 1 HP, and you're using Ultra Balls, like you're looking pretty good.
You catch these Pokemon, even after, do they always obey you? I remember that was an issue when I was game sharking, fucking Pikachu's and all these rare Pokemon. They wouldn't obey me when I got them. And I'm like, I went to all this trouble to steal you, and now you won't listen to me? What the hell is this?
Because they had that stupid level thing in effect. It wasn't even like, I remember even when I didn't cheat.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I raised my Pokemon too high, and I got to like just before the first gym, and he was like level 20 already because I grinded the fuck, and he's like 75% of the chance he wouldn't even listen to me.
Well, yeah, you need to get badges.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah, you need badges to level up. Yeah, that was dumb.
Well, one thing, moving into Sword and Shield now, one thing I did like about Sword and Shield is you can go into the wild area and you can catch Pokemon of up to level 60. You would find Pokemon up to level 60, but depending on how many badges you had, you wouldn't be able to catch them until you had a certain amount of badges. So, like, you had to tread kind of carefully through the wild area or else you'd encounter level 50 Steelix and get totally fucking butt raped.
I actually encountered that, and I was like, oh, I think I should be okay. Oh, no.
I
ran into a level 80 Wailord yesterday. I'm like, oh, my God, everything's level 60 for me. I'm like, I'm going to get stomped, but I did okay. I actually tried to catch it, but it just didn't work out. He fainted. I was like, fuck's sakes, I want a goddamn level 80 Wailord.
Can I just picture, like... Have you ever seen that chart of, like, where they put a statistical size of like a normal human being to like some of the biggest Pokemon?
Yeah.
And how big fucking Wailord is.
Dude, I saw Wailord so fucking far away. Normally the game waits for you to be like maybe 20 feet away before it actually spawns the Pokemon in just to save memory. But like you could see Wailord for a fucking full mile. You're like, whoa. And it took forever to like get out to him. And I'm like surfing on my bike or whatever. I'm just like pedaling my way. It took me forever to get to him, and I'm like, and then once I got to him, like he took up my whole screen. I'm like, oh my god, he's massive. I played through the expansion DLC for Island of Armor on Sword and Shield. So first thing I noticed was that it was hard to find. It wasn't very obvious where to go. They're like, you buy the pass, and then you open Pokemon Sword and Shield. It's like, you have the armor pass now. And that's all it says. I'm like, okay. So I kind of fucked around, and then I finally found the guy that's like, oh, train leaving for Island of Armor. I'm like, okay, cool. Anyway, so I get there. Lots of Pokemon that I haven't seen before. And then there's this guy that has there's a Diglett blocking your path, like a Diglett from Alola. It's got the 3 hairs on top or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, so you like... interact with that, and then some guy's like, oh, hey, you found my Diglett, and he's like, yeah, he looks weird because he's from Alola. I liked him so much that I caught 150 of them, but they all went missing, so can you find them for me? I'm like, what the fuck? So you gotta, so on throughout the Island of Armor is 150 Diglets burrowed, and you gotta find like the little three hairs sticking up out of the ground. So
that shouldn't be too hard.
It's kind of fun.
You know what I've often thought about, and I've put way too much thought into this dumb question I've created. What is the connective adhesive that connects each boulder to boulder on an onyx? Unless there's an actual skeleton in there, I'm confused.
Well, what if... So, yeah, there's a skeleton in there, and the vertebrae are the rocks, but they can spin 100 and, or 360 degrees independently.
Man.
That makes no fucking sense. You're just like, my brain's trying to calculate this now. And so it's these like, are the,
they're like literally paralyzed. Because if you can dislocate and spin them, that would paralyze anyone else.
No, man.
They're paralyzed rockworms.
Well, look, owls can spin their heads at 360 degrees.
But that would mean... Yeah, but they have to go back around. They just can't keep going like the Exorcist. Like, that would mean that each boulder is its own organism, working together as one organism. But it still doesn't explain why they're connected, because if it can spin, that means there's no connective tissue in the middle. You know what I mean? Where the boulder, inside the boulder, touching boulder area. Pokemon, I need answers quickly.
I'm more interested in how a fucking Pokeball works, to be honest.
And obviously, it's either two things. It's either slavery, or as soon as they get there, it's like a spa. Like, inside a Pokeball is like a spa for Pokemon, and they're like, hey, you know, get our mud mask on, chill in a hot tub, unless you're a rock Pokemon, in which it's a giant mud pit with rocks and stuff for you to swim around in.
I don't know, man. They always seem kind of happy when they come out. Like, if I was stuck in a Pokeball, that was, like, my dream world, and then the trainer's like, hey, come out and fight, I'd be like, fuck you.
What if it's just a bunch of machines inside of it that just sits there and jerks your Pokemon off all day? That's what it is. We nailed it. That's what it is, because they come out always ready to fight. And the reason they're ready to fight is because we just interrupted something important.
Yeah, they want to get back to it.
They got to finish this shit up. They got to kill this Squirtle before they can get back to squirting Squirtles.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Oh.
Anyway, so these Diglets. What's a Diglet look like underneath that mound? Anyways, whatever. Every milestone. Every milestone.
The Rock Johnson body.
I've seen so many of those.
Those are good.
Yeah. There's certain milestones of finding a certain amount of Diglett, and then you get a Pokemon from Alola. So for 5 Diglets, you get an Alolan Meowth. For 10, you get an Alolan Slowpoke, all that kind of shit. So yeah, it goes all the way down. And then when you get 100, I haven't gotten 100 yet. I found 85 or something now. But once you get to 100, you get to choose the... you don't get to choose. You get a starter from Alola, and it's based off the starter. That shit pisses me off. Why is it just giving me a Pokemon based off a fucking choice I made at the beginning of the game? Fuck that. I want to choose the one I want. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm with you there, because I didn't want Popplio.
I don't want fucking Popplio either, but I get him. I want Litten, man.
How do you feel about Ash? Ash didn't even get a choice. He's like, We have four choices. One you can't have. Oh, this one's gone too. Sucks you slept in. Oh, can't get this one. Guess you're getting the one I was not sure about that probably won't listen.
I like how Professor Oak like literally made him open all three empty Pokeballs too. Like, what a dick.
It didn't even stop
like
him.
He's teaching him a lesson. Timeliness. This is what happens.
Yeah.
And Ash is like, my second choice. Nothing. What made no sense though, why was there empty Pokeballs? That is the fucking Pokemon Pokeball. Like, it should have gone with the trainer. That made no sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. That's a good point.
A lot of plot holes in that first episode.
Yeah.
Plot holes in the whole fucking show. But anyways, okay. Back to the Island of Armor. Okay, so I don't know if I'm done it yet. I've explored all the areas. Okay, first of all, the fucking dojo is total balls. It's just fucking waste of my time. So first you come out of the train station and then you fight this lady that's like, oh, I'm with the dojo. And you're like, cool. She's like, I'm supposed to bring back the pupil whose first day it is. And she assumes it's you, but it's not you. The guy who it's actually supposed to be, he got scared and took the train back to whatever the place is called. I can't even remember what the region's called.
Galeo?
I'm going to look it up because I forget. Galar.
Galar.
But so you fucking wipe the floor with her, and then you go to the dojo, and she basically hates you because you wiped the floor with her. And then the first task you have to do is catch three really fast slowpoke and make them faint. I'm like, all right, easy peasy. And then the second one, it's like, oh, go find Max Mushrooms. And you go and find those, and then that's it. And then they're like, hey, you did really well. You did better than everybody else. I'm like, really? Is everyone else a complete fucking idiot that they can't fucking catch three slowpokes and a fucking find some fucking mushrooms? Like, it just was irritating. And then you have to fight the same bitch again, and you just completely wipe the floor with her, even though she cheated. Like, you start the match, and she goes, oh, what happened? The field's, like, soaked with toxic spikes. I'm like, oh, you're just using my strategy against me, you fucking bitch. Okay, you're dead. So then you get Kung Fu, and you gotta train him. That's where I am. I spent more time exploring the Island of Armor than I did doing the actual quest, because they were fucking dumb.
Do you think it was worth the money?
I honestly think that the next DLC is gonna be worth the money. I bought the bundle, so...
Yeah.
It was like 30-some bucks. They added a bunch of new Pokemon, so there's a lot more Pokemon to catch. Oh, no, I was actually talking just before the podcast started. I was wandering around, and I found a wild Alakazam, and I basically shit my pants. I was like, the fuck? You can never find wild Alakazam anywhere. And
no.
I actually found a wild Rhyperior as well, and I was like, what the motherfuck? So
even Abra used to piss me off. Like, as soon as the battle starts, Abra teleports.
Yeah, I've encountered a couple of him, and yeah, he pissed me off. Everything in this DLC is level 60, so that's nice. I like that once you beat the game, like, basically everything in the wild area is level 60, so you can actually build a dynamic team if you want, like a new team. You don't have to, like, catch something really young and then raise
train it.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So that's nice. There's two towers in the Island of Armor, but I'm not allowed to go in them yet. They're like, you can't climb this tower yet. Leave this place. I'm
like, probably part of the story.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm the fucking champion, bitch. Move aside.
They don't know you're the champion, obviously.
Even though I completely decimated that dojo and made it look like my bitch. And then fought a Wailord and beat it. Oh, there are so many items on the ground. It's fucking gross. Like, everywhere you go, like, every little island will have, like, 12 items on it. Like, hidden items and visible items. You're like, oh my god. Like, I cannot carry any more Galarian branches. Like, just stop it. So, yeah. That's what I think of that. That place. It's okay. I not the best money I've spent. But, yeah. Well,
you're holding hopes for the part two.
I'm kind of hoping the part two will work out. So.
I'll get to it shortly.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to Pokemon Snap now. Only been waiting for this for about 20 years.
Yep.
And we've talked about this many times on the podcast. A new Pokemon, like, where the fuck's Pokemon Snap 2? Like, everyone wants this. Why is it not a thing?
No. Was the last one come out in Nintendo 64, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
1999, I think.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. Okay, if you enjoyed the photographing Pokemon years ago on the Nintendo 64, here's some news you may love. Pokemon Snap is coming to the Nintendo Switch. Pokemon Company unveiled a new game titled New Pokemon Snap, which is based on the original 1999 game, which brings players to new habitats with goals of shooting the best photos they can of a wide range of Pokemon. And actually, the trainer in the cart looks less stupid than, what was his stupid fucking name? I know his last name was Snap, and I'm like, who? No.
I don't remember.
I remember they had one episode of Pokemon about him.
Yeah.
But anyways, exploring unknown, Brian, you got me going on the East Coast talk. Exploring unknown islands with everything from tropical beaches to lush jungles, you'll be shooting photos to build up your Pokedex while helping to discover new, never-before-seen Pokemon expressions and behaviors. Okay, so obviously we're in Generation 8, so there's going to be a lot more Pokemon to snap. I wonder if they're going to put every single Pokemon in the game.
They could, and have it done by like environmental and stuff like that. That's what made the first game so good as well. You had to kind of decide where to throw things. Like,
yeah.
It was this an apple spot or a rock?
Yeah, exactly. And what I liked about the new game is every level had replayability because you couldn't ever do the more than one route, and there was multiple routes on every level, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this game could be huge, actually, now that I think about it. If there's 1,000 Pokemon and you know, maybe there's 20 stages, right? So you can, there's 100 Pokemon for every level.
Mm-hmm. I want a big game. I want something like this where I get, like, have to replay different levels. Excuse me. This is what I want in a Pokemon Snap, is just to go anywhere I want.
Speaking of what we want in Pokemon Snap, I asked the Video Games Now community what they want in Pokemon Snap. David Stern said Pokemon would be nice. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you'd be laughing harder at that than how you did.
No, it's just sarcasm. I didn't really know what to say.
I told him that's the DLC for Pokemon Snap.
Okay, that one you got me.
Is the Pokemon.
We're just gonna be photographing like the wild. We'll get some great pictures of some flowers, some beautiful crystal blue water.
Yeah. Luke says he hasn't played any of the snaps yet, but he just finished Sword and he's starting on Pikachu. Let's Go Pikachu. He's a bit late on the bandwagon. Yes, you are, indeed, Luke.
Yeah. Well, at least there's only one snap, so you've only missed one.
Let me take you back in time for when Snap came out, and I had a Nintendo 64. That game was not on my radar. Do you want to know why? Pokemon Stadium was out, and that game was fun as hell.
Shit, you're right.
I had no interest in Pokemon Snap. They're like, you can play this game and take pictures of them. I'm like, I want to battle these guys, dude. That was the reason why I didn't think about whether or not they were going to make any more or what they could do. But I'm thinking about it now. It probably syncs up very well to the technology we have, and they could do a lot more with it, obviously.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be good, but Pokemon Stadium, give us one of those.
What made Pokemon Stadium good? Because I'm just thinking about it. Was it the fact that we had Pokemon on a mainstream console?
Well, we had pre-existing knowledge of like the first 150 to 250 Pokemon at the time, and we were like, oh, that's a water type. So you didn't even have to play the game, and you are already good because you knew strengths and weaknesses. And then when you came in, you rocked it. And the graphics for at the time were amazing.
That's true.
And I think it's one of the first multiplayer games, like one of the first great ones.
I think for me, what the thing I played the most was the mini games.
I did love the mini games. You're right, they were great.
That's another podcast. We'll talk about the anatomy of Pokemon and Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah, I'm sorry to segue, but that's the only only memories I have of Pokemon Snap are like my buddy had it, but he never played it because he had Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah. Okay.
When Snap came out, wasn't there also the Snap launched or something with the same the yellow N64 for Pikachu?
Yeah, and they had a piece of technology you needed to buy separate, I think, to enhance the gameplay.
Well, it was to send your Pokemon from your actual cartridge, like your Game Boy cartridge, into the game so you could battle with them.
Oh, I see, yes. Yeah.
Okay, going back to Snap, I'm on our Discord now, questions for the podcast. Thomas Noseworthy says he would like free roam.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I don't think we should have to be in the cart the whole game. It would be kind of cool if we could walk around.
I think if the cart took you to areas, you know, like you're like, okay, I think I got everything I can from this area, and then you jump in the cart and it takes you to the next area, and maybe you got to make things happen between the first area and the second area in the cart in order to trigger
where
events.
You could have like some rare, but I think it would be cool if we could just walk around in like a forest or something like that, and depending on like if you threw a rock at a flower or something, a gloom could show up or a vile plume, you know?
Actually, I can't quite remember. In the first one, did you have a finite amount of stills you could take? Like, because that was back in the day when you...
Yeah, there was a max amount of pictures you could keep.
Okay.
Or to show oak at the end.
Okay.
Wasn't it 100?
I thought it was 9 or 12 or something like that. You could only show him 12 pictures, and they had to be, like, your top. And then he'd grade them.
No, I mean in terms of... When you're in the cart, could you only take like 100 photos? Like, because you only had a certain amount of film or something?
That's what I think thought, so. Yeah.
And you only had like a certain amount of like apples, but you had infinite rocks or something.
No, you had infinite apples, but it was the smoke ball, I think, I don't know. But I was thinking in the new one, now that everything's digital, can you just snap infinite photos? Or I guess you could run out of space on the card and stuff.
Hit up Professor Oak's DMs, bro.
You know, so, we just need a Rotom Dex.
Yeah.
Take a picture of that.
No, I think they're just going to make it unlimited photos. It just would make sense. Especially if there's 1,000 fucking Pokemon in the game.
Yeah, these levels have to be a lot bigger than before, too, just to incorporate them.
Yeah. Emotional Support Man on our Discord says that he honestly wants the new Pokemon Snap to be like the old one.
I don't know if that would sell anymore.
Yeah.
Our generation, yeah, we'd still pick it up because it's nostalgia. But the younger generation that are just getting into Pokemon nowadays,
I don't think you can confine anyone to a card.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially not for the price of games. We're at like $80 right now.
Oh, and you know this is going to be fucking $80.
Yeah. This isn't going to be a $40 game, so...
I hope that... see, I really wish this was on the Wii U, only because of the Wii U gamepad and how it worked.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That would be perfect for taking pictures and stuff like that. Plus, you'd have your HUD right there beside you, so you could just click it.
Well, yeah, because you'd have the front cart, like the cart, what's in front of your cart on the TV, and then your Wii U gamepad would be the camera.
Yeah.
I think that you could do something similar to that with the Switch, because it does have gyro controls. And everyone hates gyro, though, so I don't even know if anyone would fucking use it.
I don't know if that would work, though, because to play it on an actual TV, it has to be docked, right? So you wouldn't have the...
I think this is a game where you would play handheld, to be honest.
Oh, I do, too, but I'm just saying, like, it's too bad, like, to play on the TV, it has to have docked. Or, because if it could play like the Wii U, it would have way better features.
Actually, that'd be stupid. I was just thinking, because you can take the Joy-Cons off when it's docked and put it on that, like, mini control, like, handheld controller thing, and then that has gyro, doesn't it?
Yeah. But I think where they screwed up with designing the Switch is the dock. It should have been able to have some sort of Bluetooth technology that you would have been able to put your screen on the TV while still having the handheld.
Yeah, I get where they came from with the design. Like, you basically got a console on the go, right? So,
oh, I do too. I just think with the dock being like some sort of Bluetooth enabled, they would have way better features for what they could do with games.
Yeah, and you know what? I really like the Wii U. I don't care what anyone says. I actually really enjoyed how the Wii U was designed. It just kind of made gaming a bit more fun.
I liked it as well. The biggest problem with the Wii U was games.
Yeah.
It didn't have anything.
And marketing, because no one had one. Yeah. Okay. So that's everything we know about Pokemon Snap. They didn't really say much. They just showed off some gameplay. So we'll throw that on our website, the actual trailer for it. So you guys can head over there, videogamesnow.ca, to check it out. And yeah. Okay. I think that's it for the podcast today. If we go for another 20 seconds, then the podcast is too big to upload. So, all right. So we'll sign off here. We'll... thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.